Hey everybody, welcome back to BK's Bullets, another special video game edition. It seems that these are turning into only that. I would like to welcome my frequent co-host on these, Senor Jim Infantis II.
I thought we were going to change the name of the show.
Well, that's something we can discuss, is what do we should we name the show as if for this you become
already,
a regular thing.
You identified it as BK's Bullets.
I did, but I don't have a better name, and neither did you, so we're going to call this one. And after E3 on Monday, we can start off with a new chapter.
How about we call it BJ's?
BJ's? BJ's Bullets? What about JB's? JB's? Anyway, there's a history behind BK's Bullets. We won't go into that now. That's a separate podcast or blog post. So, we'll just start there. So, Jim, we've done a couple things since we last podcasted. But what did we do today? We played Injustice.
We did.
The Xbox and the PS4 have been revealed, I think, since we last had an episode. E3 is right around the corner on Monday.
Yes.
Has all the big announcements.
Yes.
I know you have some strong feelings on these new consoles.
I do.
Do you want to start there, or do you want to start talking about Injustice?
We'll talk about Injustice since we just played it.
Since we just played it. Okay.
So, for all two people listening, Brent got really upset because I kicked his ass. But in my defense, I'm pretty good.
He did. He comes over and goes, or he had told me when we were talking about Injustice because we'd gotten really excited about it. And Jim was like, yeah, I don't really play fighting games. I don't know if I'm that good. And he comes over, and I've been playing Injustice. Not all the time, but fairly regularly. I beat the story. I'm going with each character and trying to play them and learn their moves, or at least get the achievement or whatever in the game for beating a battle with them. So I thought I'd be all right. You know, I knew some combos and stuff. Jim comes in, and we played maybe an hour and a half, and won 11 matches, and I won 5.
But there were 5 good matches.
Yeah, the ones where I won.
It's a fun game. I mean, now that I've gotten to play it, I remember playing the demo. It's a lot different than the demo. I think the demo wasn't nearly as polished.
I think it is. The demo didn't have any level transitions, and it only had the one area.
Well, they fixed Batman's stupid cape. Because in the demo, if you remember, his cape was like a piece of plywood. And when he would jump, it would just go straight up.
I don't remember that.
Oh, it drove me bananas. But they fixed that. I can definitely tell the difference between playing with all the characters. Deathstroke is way OP. Way OP. Like, I don't think I got it. I think if I wanted to.
What does OP mean for the newbies listening out there?
Overpowered.
Overpowered. Okay.
He needs to be nerfed significantly. I think I probably could have beaten you with Deathstroke without getting hit.
Absolutely.
Just doing those two. He's got a fast machine gun attack and a slow handgun attack. And it's stupidly overpowered.
Because it goes all the way across the screen.
Yep. As opposed to, like, Lobo's shotgun, who goes, like,
nowhere.
Yeah.
Or even Green Lantern's minigun attack, where he does it with the construct. It only goes, like, halfway across the screen. If you're on opposite ends and you're, like, as far back as you can go, you won't hit the other guy. But Deathstroke can hit them all. Which they did. On their Facebook page maybe it was online somewhere. I think the guys at Injustice had said that they know that Deathstroke is overpowered. So
he should be. But
every time they release a new DLC character, they release a compatibility pack for people who don't have the DLC characters.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's in there or if it's in something else.
Well, Deathstroke is the best, so he should be the strongest. But it should be fair to all the other scrub superheroes like Shazam.
Shazam. So you played with a couple other characters. Who else did you like?
Well, Green Arrow is the best by far.
From the two times you played as him?
All 2 times. He's the best by far. I could definitely tell the difference between... I think they did a really good job balancing between big, fast, slow characters like Bane. I don't think I played as Solomon Grundy. Doomsday.
He plays Doomsday, yeah.
Those guys are like brutes. They're really slow. And then you got like the opposite end of the spectrum, like Nightwing and Green Arrow, who are really fast but really weak. So there's definitely a good balance between, and then there's some in between, like Lobo was kind of in between. Deathstroke I really didn't play with too much, but I'm assuming he would be kind of in between. Superman was the same way.
Yeah, Superman's kind of slow for being Superman and having super speed. He's
yeah,
a slower character to move across the screen.
Well, the only thing I noticed, and I don't know if it's your the Bren Cassina strategy of jumping away like an idiot and standing in the corner and waiting. But we seem to like I seem to chase you a lot, and it just turned into like us jumping in the same direction.
Because I was trying to execute a move, but you were, I don't know what you were doing, but I couldn't get any hits in. So my strategy was jump away, execute an environmental attack using one of the items in there, and then on either side of the screen, there's always an environmental.
Well, that's okay.
So if you had pushed me up against the side of a screen one time, and maybe not knocked me into the next arena, I could have pressed the right shoulder button and executed an environmental. It just has so happened that the one time that you really noticed that that's what I was doing, you hit me, and that was the last hit, and then we were done.
Well, it's fun, but the only complaint I would have, and not that I'm a fighting guru, although I've played my fair share of fighters, I wish there was a way to close the gap a little bit better. I feel like...
You can dash. You can double dash, tap. You can dash,
but, I mean, that doesn't... You shouldn't be able to run... You shouldn't be able to just immediately engage somebody that fast. So I do appreciate that there is a kind of a lag when you're kind of chasing somebody. But if you really wanted to, you could just pretty much keep leaping away from me. And with the exception of maybe Green Arrow and Deathstroke, most of the super attacks had some kind of range. Like Superman's lasers came up, but they didn't go very far. Or you could time the jump where... You know, or like Joker had the grenades, or Harley Quinn had the cupcake grenades. They had a definite range, and once you knew the range, you would miss every time.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish there was a way to like engage faster. I don't know. I haven't played it online, but competitively, that would drive me bananas. I think someone could really draw out a match if they were trying. Like you were saying, if you're jumping away trying to pull off a move, you would have like five or six opportunities to leap back and keep trying it over and over as I slowly chased you.
Mm-hmm.
Now there was places where like you could hang on like a chandelier, like on the helicopter level. There was like a missile rack on the top. You could leap onto that and swing across, and that was cool. But that was only in the very center.
That depends on your character too. If you're a bigger guy, you just take the missile and slam me.
Okay,
it.
So you couldn't even use that as mobility. Then.
It depends on what character you are.
And the only other thing that I could say that I didn't like, I liked everything but these two things. So I really did like it, but most of the fighting games that I've played. When you would have a special move like a Hadouken or like shooting an arrow or a gun or something, it was just always horizontal to the ground. And wherever you pulled the trigger at, if you were halfway in the air, you could pull one off. If you were on the ground, you could pull one off. On this game, there's a separate dedicated move set for shooting an arrow straight up in the air at a 45 in front of you, jumping a 45 and below you.
That's kind of what kills Green Arrow for me is that he's got the basic arrow attack, which is just B. But then there's not really a special move where he fires an arrow horizontally at anybody.
Right.
That's what's disappointing for me. Because like you said, there's one up in the air diagonally, and then there's the one where he fires three, and they go one in the middle and then two diagonally on the sides. Like but he fires it straight up in the air. But how many times is that going to hit anybody?
Exactly. And that's frustrating. And especially going back to the other point, to engage, you want to have some kind of opener. You don't want to just jump in doing like a kick, like every time someone sees that coming. So if you could time, if there was a better way that they had programmed that where you could jump in the air and shoot an arrow while you're coming down with a kick, so I'm blocking your jump away and I'm engaging you down low, then I would probably wouldn't complain about the pacing of people running away too much.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they have the move set up now, it's very, very difficult to pull a lot of those transition moves off, and it's just the reason I was doing so well against you is I was just parrying the hell out of you. I was or blocking or whatever. I was constantly just back. I'd mix it up. I'd do a down weak attack, up high attack. I'd jump over. I was jumping over your head a lot back and forth. It wasn't like I was pulling off some crazy combinations.
Now he tells me.
But when you were jumping away, the couple times you really smoked me when you were playing with Deathstroke, even though he was overpowered. You were way far away from me, and you were shooting. You were either using the environmental stuff, which is a cool add-on. You're throwing barrels at me, or throwing cars at me, or whatever. And then you were shooting me, and you saw as I tried to jump over to you, I couldn't.
Uh-huh.
It took forever to get over to you, and it was like I'd jump, I'd get hit. I couldn't close that gap. I wanted to engage you. When I was up close next to you, pretty much I won every time. When you were able to get a far enough gap and you had a ranged character, you beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing that I mean, it doesn't, I don't know how competitive people are going to be in that. I know you played some of the stuff online.
Yeah, a little bit.
But
not much.
I don't know what you could do to. I mean, that's just something to consider in the future.
Because what I played online a couple times. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, if I'm playing online on Injustice, and I'll do a ranked match. So basically, it finds somebody of your. I don't know how they determine your skill level, because the XP is based off of doing things, not really of your skill as a fighter. It's just
how much
you play the game.
You were getting a ton of XP when you and I were playing.
So. But they'll find somebody who's a similar level than you, and you'll go up against them.
Right.
What I don't like is that it's not instantaneous, and that once that match ends, it doesn't give you and the other guy a chance to go, hey, you want to play again as a different character?
Right.
It's just then you leave. It cuts the cord, and you'll never find that guy again unless you invite him into a party or something like that. There is a King of the Hill mode that I did try, mm-hmm. and that when you join a match like I did, you start it at the bottom, and then there are other matches going on, and then it takes a little while. Like right. There's a match going on, so maybe once that one ends, you'll actually get the video feed. It doesn't load it automatically, instantly, which I didn't like, because most of the time when I first was in, I was going, okay, I hear things, but I'm not seeing anything. Like they had the. On the right-hand side of the screen, they had all the guys who were in the room. And then on the left was this big partition of the screen that's supposed to be the fight that's going on.
It's just blank.
It was blank until that finished. And then the next fight actually loaded. You could see everything.
Oh, okay.
So it was like a lag in that, which I didn't like. But then the next fight started, and you saw who they picked, and you could have a chance to vote for this guy or that guy. And you get experience points for voting correctly, and then I think you move when the guy loses, then it moves up, so you face the king. Mm-hmm. The problem is there's 7 or 8 guys in this room, so if you're playing a king, if you're in a King of the Hill match, you're going to be waiting
forever,
20 minutes to 45 minutes, depending on the skill level of these guys, to actually play, and that's no fun.
I think they're trying to simulate that old arcade feel where you would wait in line.
Right, but there's nobody talks in Xbox Live anymore.
Well, that's what I mean. If nobody's talking.
Nobody's talking and going, oh, no, snap.
That's what would be fun. If you had a bunch of guys around and you were in that, you know, that arena atmosphere.
Even on Halo, nobody's talking on Halo anymore.
Just about how they have sex with your mom and how much you suck. And
nobody's using it to actually communicate or make a team or anything like that anymore on Xbox.
That's what I hate, you know, the way that these games are going with the social aspect, which is one of my big gripes with the new Xbox, is they're really, really force-feeding the social aspect, but the truth is nobody uses it. The only time I ever talk to anyone on Xbox Live is when I play with you. And we'll be like, well, okay, what's up? And we don't even talk that much. We just play and occasionally go,
get on the Warthog!
Right?
I'm over here, idiot! Oh, you died!
You suck, yeah.
Andy's here. I gotta leave.
Right? Exactly. So you don't really... That camaraderie of jumping on a game and talking, hey, guys, what's going on? What's the best weapon? You know, let's coordinate. Let's all attack to the left. Let's all attack to the right. That's not there anymore. It's all just, oh, man, I shot him. Oh, the game lagged. Oh, this sucks. You suck. You cheat. You know?
Gamer complaints.
That's all it is.
I think you gamers are prone to complaining, though.
We are.
Which you'll get into later.
Oh, my God. I got paper. I got paper.
He's got notes, people. He's got notes.
I got notes of how much. So.
There's no PS3 notes on there, though.
They're all in my head.
PS4.
They're in my head.
Excuse me.
So,
So Injustice, if you haven't played it, give it a shot.
I recommend it. I think it's a really good game, especially if you're like Brent and you know all the backstory.
The story was great. The digital comics are great on Comixology. If you haven't, if you follow the Comic Timing Post on Facebook,
you should like us on
Facebook.
Like Brent Meehan for president.
Comic Timing. www.facebook.com/comic timing. Like it. Anytime something outrageous happens in the Injustice comic, I will post a picture of it just because it's wacky and you'll never see it unless you read it.
And if you really are into comics and you understand the world of, you know, behind the scenes, the world and stuff, all the levels have guys fighting in the background or famous, like, landmarks or characters.
Yeah, it's really well
done. I'm constantly
done.
Asking Brent, like, who's that? And he's like, oh, that's blah, blah, blah. Who's that? You know, he's doing that.
Really, really well done level design and Easter eggs for hardcore DC guys. Tons the story mode is great. I loved playing that. I want to play through it again because basically the way that it goes is there's like a cinematic, and that can be, you know, 30 seconds or it can be 5 minutes long. Depends. Like, the opening cinematic is pretty long. I want to say it's like 7 minutes.
Wow.
And then you'll have a fight, you'll have a match, and it'll determine. So, but it's not random. It's not like first your Flash and then it goes to Lex Luthor and then so and so on. It's kind of like in chunks. So it'll say like chapter one, you're Batman, and then you'll have 4 or 5 matches as Batman, but it's Batman moving the story along, exploring things. Then it'll switch perspectives to somebody else, maybe them for 4 or 5 matches, and then explore the story. But in a linear way, like, it's almost a movie until the matches begin and stuff like that. It's pretty neat.
It's very clever storytelling, and it's cool when they do that. And even the way the loading screen is actually the level you're going to fight on, and then it kind of phases into that. And it's very different than the games I'm used to, where it's like, now loading, please wait, and then suddenly you're transported in, or loading, we could see a cutscene, and that, I mean, it's all very fluid. Two guys are talking, and they're like, hey, they have an argument about something, they're fighting. There you go. I mean, it's just like, it's that fast.
Yeah, and during really, the cutscene, cool. It loads in the background. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no loading scene in between cutscene and match, which nice, which I showed you. So it's pretty cool. I like it a lot. I'd give it a 4 out of 5 stars.
4 out of 5 stars? Not a 5?
I mean, there's...
I'm not
a great fighting game guy, so but I do really enjoy it, and I would recommend it to other people.
What would give it a 5?
I don't know.
You being better?
I can't say that it's like a perfect game and I'm totally in love with it, because if I was totally in love with it, I'd be playing it a lot more than I am.
What would you give Halo 4?
Halo 4? A 4.5.
Halo 4 is better than Injustice?
I really loved Halo 4.
Wow, when's the last time you played Halo 4? There it is. It's that good.
But Injustice came out, what, a month or two ago? And when did Halo 4 come out? October, when we got it?
Yeah, it's been a while. I was just curious. Okay.
Okay. So,
are you playing anything else besides Injustice?
Right now, no.
Well, but you're going
to
be...
Well, I'm right? trying to get Marvel Heroes, mm-hmm. working on my laptop, which is a nice laptop. It's a PC, like a desktop replacement. This is about a couple years ago before they had all this Windows 8 nonsense.
True.
And
so I'm trying to convert Brent from console games into PC games. Because I have made the switch, and it'd only be justified to me if I could convince him that it's the right thing to do. Because I'm still on the fence about the new Xbox, but I'll get that in a minute. Other games that are out that you guys should check out that just came out, State of Decay.
Now, you said you didn't like that yesterday.
Okay, I kind of like it. So, do you know anything about it?
No.
Okay. State of Decay.
Other than that, you told me yesterday that you bought it and you didn't like it.
Here's your 20-second history lesson. State of Decay is a Microsoft arcade game. You buy it from the store. It's 1,600 points. So it's like 20 bucks. It's a zombie post-apocalyptic survival game, but with very heavy RPG elements. So instead of like a traditional hack and slash game like Dead Island, where you're running around stabbing people and running around and just getting you're only as good as your next weapon. This game, you actually get a survivor. They all have personalities. They all have specific traits. And inside you basically start a community, and you have to go out and do food runs. You have to go out and do like gasoline runs, get lumber. And you basically assemble a small community, and it's kind of up to you. I say you can jump between different characters. So it's not like you're tied down to one person. And you basically start trying to figure out how to stay alive and just how to survive. So that part of it's cool.
So it's not strictly a zombie game? Or is it a zombie game?
It's all, yeah, I mean, you are fighting zombies the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not like fighting, well, I shouldn't say that. I haven't beaten the main story, but... You're fighting zombies right now. It's just, I mean, the world's gone to hell. You're out in some campground. So you really don't know what's going on. You kind of go to like a small town. And there, the map's pretty big. There's like a campground area where it's kind of a lot of houses. Mm-hmm. And you can go inside the houses and scavenge for supplies.
So
you go out in the desert or
so. Know, comparing it to The Walking Dead, which we both played,
way different.
The play style, the type of game is different, but
yeah, very different.
Story wise, how different is it?
The story is so.
If it's like a zombie thing, because this is what I'm kind of wondering. Like, we have this game that just came out that you bought, Last of Us. And then what it's called that just got reviewed, got a 10 from IGN, mm-hmm. is another survival story type game, but kind of plays like Uncharted, it looks like.
Right, same people who made Uncharted.
Same people who made Naughty Uncharted.
Mm-hmm. This game reminds me of...
And that one has zombies in it, or this infected
fungus. This reminds me more like, I mean, the game style is very heavily borrowed from like a Grand Theft Auto, where you could pretty much go anywhere and do anything. But there are certain points of the map that you have to visit in order to progress the story.
But you said you could jump between characters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You go back to...
Because normally the third... Is it a third person or first person?
Third person. Over the shoulder.
It's normally the third person, you don't really jump characters.
Yep, and that's what makes it kind of interesting is the characters have fatigue. They have different strengths and weaknesses. So I'm playing with this girl right now, Maya. And she's a lot of fun. I've leveled her up a lot because I'm playing only with her. While I was playing with her so much, her fatigue level went down. I'm like, I don't care, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Her fatigue level, because she hasn't slept and I've only been playing with her, she's got minus 100 fatigue in the game, which means like she swings her weapon once and she's completely out of gas. Like she gets like she huffs and puffs, like she can't run.
Did you put her to sleep before you came over here?
I did. I tucked her in.
Kissed her on the cheek?
I did.
On the forehead?
So, but... I have another character, the only other guy I can play with right now. He's heavily injured because I haven't found a doctor yet to heal us up. But he's got all his strength. But he gets hit one more time, he's a goner. So you have to start juggling. He's great for like a local... If I need to go get supplies really close, he's a great guy to go do it. If it's an area I've already kind of cleared, he can run in and do it. No problem. The girl, when she gets her health up, she'll be better for the longer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And as you start doing more missions and bringing back more things for people, you become friendly with them, and that's when you can control them. You can eventually have, you know, a whole army of people you're playing with. But my biggest complaint is it's not polished at all. It plays like a really bad MMO. Like, clipping is, like, really bad. Like, characters walk through doors all the time, walk through walls, walk through car doors... If you're driving down a road and there's like a tall piece of grass, it sticks up through like the center of your car, and it's odd. The driving part of it isn't very good, and the combat's not even that great. So I'm like, IGN gave it a good rating, Polygon gave it a good rating, Rev3 hasn't reviewed it yet. I don't know if they will. I don't know if they touch indie games or not. Well, not indie games. It's straight to arcade. But it's getting a lot of good marks, but. I guess I would say try before you buy because I've been binging points for a while now. I got a small army of Bing points in my pocket. And I'm just burning a hole in my pocket. I'm like, I got to spend these suckers. So I went out and bought it immediately. I didn't even download the demo. Done. $20. I got it. And if I would play the demo first, I probably wouldn't have got it. But I'll stick through it. I mean, I'm trying to find a diamond in the rough. I'm trying to enjoy the experience. It is fun when you're fighting a bunch of zombies and your weapon breaks and you got to get away or trying to sneak around a building and scavenge for supplies without, you know, being noticed. Because it's not that kind of combat game where you're just going to go out and kill everything. I think the enemies infinitely spawn. There's packs of zombies that walk around. If they catch you, you're a goner. Different types of zombies. You get fatigue, like I said. So you almost have to get in that mindset of playing like, you really are a survivor. Like if the zombie apocalypse happened, you wouldn't grab like a pot and run outside and kill every zombie you saw in a 20-mile radius. You'd get tired. You'd be smart about how you survived. So mixed bag on that one. But you could get the demo on your Xbox and you could try it next time we talk and you could say this game sucks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing that. I revisited Skyrim. I've been playing Skyrim back on PlayStation 3. They finally fixed that. I don't think you'd like it. I don't think you'd like Skyrim.
No?
I think you would think... I could see you sitting there going, this sucks. Like, I'm bored. Like, what do I do? I don't know why. I could just imagine you.
I'm an action-oriented guy. I like shooters. I like things like God of War and Assassin's Creed where there's... there's always somebody to run up and fight, and it's clear cut what your next objective is.
If you were like, do you like Grand Theft Auto?
I would say that Assassin's Creed is like Grand Theft Auto, isn't it? Pretty damn similar.
It's close. Imagine a Grand Theft Auto type game where you could literally go in any building and like go through people's cupboards to find like money bags and like literally like open a little drawer, open this, look under a bed to find money or to find gear.
Yeah, I might be bored.
I mean, there's a lot of hunt and pecking kind of stuff. And you go into a cave and, you know, it's not like there's a big chest at the end. Open me for all the great spoils of war.
Yeah, I mean,
it might be a pair of boots tucked under a bed that are like the best boots in the game ever. And you just got to make sure you got to check all the corners and just there's combat in between because some guy's like, hey, why are you stealing my boots? And you fight him. And the combat's so-so. First-person shooter. It's a first-person, I say shooter, but it's a first-person action. You can switch to a third-person. It doesn't work. The combat's kind of clunky. But for the old-school RPGers, it's still a really fun game. I've been playing a lot of that. And lastly, Mass Effect. I finally got the trilogy for Xbox. I've been playing that. I bought that on Amazon a couple weeks ago. I'm probably about 2 minutes away from beating the first disc. I think I'm really close to the end.
Of Mass Effect 1?
The first Mass Effect, yeah. Mass Effect 1 is just one disc.
Okay. And 2 and 3, are they mostly multi-disc?
They're both two discs each, yeah.
Jeez. Now, do you think I would like that?
If you you would like it if you play through the main story. So after every mission, you get a squad of people. It's always the same squad of people. It's not like your squad's going to be different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But they react to... They ask you quite... You have conversations, and they react to you.
I like that part of the Walking Dead game that we played.
So there's a lot of that. You could spend hours just literally talking to people in between missions and do nothing. You log in. You could load up the game. Some of these conversations are really in-depth. Go talk to your entire crew, and that's like an hour.
Wow.
You learn about all their history. You don't have to. It's optional. But it gives you more insight to who they are, and it does open up some other quests, and it gives you a better appreciation. I really connected a couple of the characters. Early on, I'm like, oh, I really like this person. They have a really cool backstory. They're all neat, but there's a couple that really stand out.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. You got to remember, though, that game came out in 2007, so it looks and plays like ass. It looks really bad. The graphics are really bad. The aiming is...
Compared to now.
Yes. The aiming is very clunky. The combat's very clunky.
So it's kind of like when I borrowed... what was that game?
Dead Rising.
Dead Rising from you.
Oh, what a great game.
And I was like, this is really...
It sucks, right?
Looks awful and clunky.
Well, now that's 7 years ago. Seven years ago. So, but yeah, that's another one I'd recommend to people who haven't. Because now I'm in that point now where we're turning the corner on new consoles. Like, Injustice is going to be one of the last Xbox games I play.
Blacklist, Splinter Cell?
I don't think I'm going to get... I think I'm Xboxed out. I think I am.
I'll get it, and I'll let you borrow it like you did Conviction.
You can't... Well, if you get it for 360, you can.
For 360.
All right, so now I got a bitch. Now enough for that crap. This is... Okay, you really want
to... So now we're talking about...
Now I got my list.
New consoles.
New consoles. Back in February, PlayStation did like a 2-hour press conference about the PlayStation 4.
Did you watch that?
I did.
See, I only read it on the internet after it was done.
I watched it live on the internet, and I was very intrigued.
This is a gym-centric episode, so...
Yeah,
don't mind me.
You can
me.
Just leave, Brent.
I'll try and chime in every once in a while.
No,
but
I want it. This is
Jim good. Has really strong feelings, but this
I
is
cried.
Good because you're supposed to like Jim. Go
I,
ahead.
I cried.
Go ahead, Jim.
I laughed. I cried. Okay, PlayStation 4. Well, first I need to rewind. When PlayStation 3 came out, it cost $500. That's a lot of money, dude. 2005 or 2006.
That's a lot of money now. The economy is worse than it was.
Okay, they took themselves way too seriously. They talked a lot of the promises for PlayStation 3 about even taking a step back. I'll take it back one generation before. PlayStation has always been the premium console in terms of market share. Until PlayStation 2 beat the original Xbox, So going into this current generation, the PlayStation 3, kind of a little high on their horse, and they missed the boat on a lot of stuff. Their basic system architecture was a little bit out there. A lot of people had a hard time coding to it. You heard me mention I went back to Skyrim because when it initially came out, it sucked.
Because you said it was buggy as
well. It was very buggy. It wasn't coded properly. Even Bethesda, who makes the game, came forward and said, hey, we kind of blew it. So you have PlayStation 3, who's kind of like the fallen. You know, PlayStation 3 definitely fell in terms of popularity to the Xbox 360. The more people on the Xbox 360, more people play the new Xbox than PlayStation 3. Fanboy wars aside, who's got more exclusive hits? That's for each person to determine. Xbox has got it. Companies are signing exclusive agreements, like Call of Duty is signing exclusive agreements with Xbox to get content out first because more people play Xbox. Minecraft went to Xbox because more people play it. So now it's almost like a 180 of what the last generation was from 2 to 3. Now we're going to the next generation. PlayStation's been beaten down. They did a completely different message. Their message is completely different. Their press conference didn't even show what the box looks like. We don't even know what the PlayStation 4 looks like. We have no idea.
Which I thought was dumb.
All they care about is games. That's all they talked about. They gave about a 15-minute overview of games. They sold their big picture. You do the cloud, whatever. Then game after game after game after game. That's all they showed. Independent game companies were coming out talking about games. They had little vignettes of people interviewing about games. It was 100% for the gamer. And I'm like, sweet. That's what we want. We want, I mean, if you had to say, if they came to you and said, hey, Brent, what do you want of the next Xbox or the next PlayStation? What would you want?
I think we've talked about it one-on-one before, but I don't know if it's been on the podcast. But before the Xbox One had been revealed or it was Durango or 720 or whatever, I was saying that I would like an all-in-one kind of box that could replace my cable box, so I didn't have to need that. That I could, you know, move my Blu-ray player into another room and have an extra Blu-ray player that read Blu-ray discs and, you know, kind of took it all in one. Or I think instead of replacing my cable box, I think I talked about being able to buy just subscriptions to certain shows or certain channels. Like, you know, I only watch on AMC, I only watch Mad Men and I watch Breaking Bad on Netflix. Well, if I could just get a subscription to Mad Men and not have to pay $30 for it like I do on iTunes, because to me, I'm only going to watch them once. I'm not going to watch them over and over again. If I know I'm going to watch them over and over again, I'll buy it on Blu-ray, like Game of Thrones. I bought it on Blu-ray because I love it. And I've watched it at least twice. I've watched season 2, I think, 3 times. When it aired, a second time after that, and then when the Blu-ray came out. So I haven't watched it yet because season 3's been online. So I've been watching that. But stuff that I want to watch over again, over and over again, I'll buy. But just watching regular television, I don't want to pay $2.99 an episode. I want to be able to get it for cheap. Entice me to get subscriptions to these shows for $10 or something like that. For 13 episodes, for $1 an episode or whatever like that,
right.
I think that would be fine. You know, and then put them on Netflix and stuff like that. Because I already pay a subscription for Netflix and Hulu, and I cut my cable because I wasn't using it very, very much. So that's what I kind of wanted out of the Xbox. And some new, to them, to be the new step forward in gaming, obviously, but mostly in digital content consumption. Because I think that's kind of where everything is going with iPads, and now they have the Surface tablets, and you know, they're trying to carve out their own niche. But I think what I wanted them to go to was to kind of be everybody's friend. I know the Apple iTunes and Microsoft ecosystem will never coexist, but I like the fact that you can have a smart glass app on your iPad and connect with it that way. You know, or at least I would. Maybe if I didn't have the store, the same. Maybe they don't have to join stores or anything. But I'd like it that, you know, I think it would be nice if all my iTunes things I've bought on iTunes, I could watch on my Xbox via streaming or something like that. Like it would recognize, hey, you've already bought these shows.
Right.
Hey, here's how you can access them on Xbox. I think that would have been cool. Just a new kind of place to make your digital library, or even if it was a fee. Not to, you know, it depends on what it is. I guess you could go into that a little bit more. But I think just revolutionizing the way we consume content, because, you know, television ratings are still up, mm-hmm. but they're still down over the last 10 years as the digital revolution happened. And people are doing more and more things on games. They're spending more and more time reading on their iPads. They're watching things at a later time. It's no longer Thursday night must-see TV.
True.
Everybody's DVRing it and going and doing whatever they want to do on Thursday nights, drinking or hanging out with their friends, or maybe they're doing something on the side. And then they'll get home and watch the show that aired at 8 o'clock. Maybe they'll watch it at 11, 10 o'clock at night or the next day, before they go out and do things. You know, so I think that's where they need to focus on, is that DVR crowd, because that's what most people are doing.
So based on all that, you want to get the new Xbox because they're going in that direction?
Well, they're not going fully in that direction. Basically, what they kind of came out and said was that they're just going to be able to tune into your cable feed, although they didn't say what companies, and be able to switch between cable and Xbox back and forth and pull up a guide that you can yell at and stuff like that. That was cool, but I cut my cable, so it's not, you know, and I'm not dying to get cable back. So it was cool, but I'm not dying to resubscribe to cable and buy an Xbox One just for that.
I think where the real disconnect comes from a lot of people, because I hear what you're saying.
But I think the revolutionary mm-hmm. thing is a pipe dream, because that requires, because these cable companies are such large companies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they make so much money that none of them is going to step out of the pack and say, you know what, we're going to do things differently and we're going to be the pack leader.
Right.
You can still subscribe to cable. We're going to offer these other things too.
Right.
And that's what I think is bad. Like HBO Go I would subscribe to that if I could do that, because I love Game of Thrones. I love True Blood. I love their documentaries from time to time.
Yeah.
I love The Newsroom. So those shows all air. That's at three different times during the year. I would subscribe to HBO Go for a year just to get those three or four shows that I watch, you know, for $10 a month or something like that. And then I would be set, because I'd have Netflix, I'd have Hulu, which has all the ABC, Fox, and NBC shows. Doesn't have CBS. CBS is a fucktard for not being on Hulu, in my opinion. But it's got MTV and Comedy Central's on there, on Hulu Plus and stuff like that. So then I would be set, and I would never go back to cable again. Because a lot of things are already on there, you know.
But
nobody's going to do that. So HBO said, we're not going to do that. You still need to be a cable subscriber and an HBO subscriber via your cable outlet in order to get that. But what's weird, though, is in one country in Europe, I want to say it was Norway or Sweden, is now able to get HBO Go as a standalone service, like Hulu and Netflix, for whatever the equivalent is over there, for $8 a month or something like that. So I'm like, why did fucking Scandinavia get it when you're an American cable channel? And, you know, when I was in France on that program, I'd be flipping through channels, not HBO, but their Canal Plus, or I think it's their big television production. So they have Canal 1, 2, 3, 4, Plus 2, whatever. But you'd see American shows from HBO on there. So they produce their shows, they show them here on HBO, and then they sell them to different channels in international territories. So they don't need to be HBO necessarily.
So
it's kind of weird that they decided to do that and not do it here. So, when people would jump on it.
Right.
People would jump on it for sure.
So that's what this all comes down to. Everything you're saying is all valid.
The cable giants aren't going to give up their money and revenue and power base.
Correct.
Just because people would do it.
And Xbox is trying to bridge that gap. That's where they're going. They want to be, just like you said, the first thing you said was, I want one box to do everything. Xbox really wants to be that box. They're not there yet. They're going to need some help from the cable companies if they ever get it. They're going to need help from all their industry partners.
I think two or three years down the line, you're going to see a lot more Xboxes in homes than...
That's what they think they're banking on.
Else.
And that's what frustrates me.
What I think could be interesting, though, and I know you're going to get into the game stuff with Xbox and the Kinect and stuff.
Right.
But what I think 2 or 3 years down the line, I think it would be interesting if instead of you subscribe to cable or Dish or something, they still have a Dish set up, or you still have your cable modem that you know gives you your signal. But instead of a cable box, maybe the cable company decides and goes, hey, we have this Xbox One thing, and we'll subsidize it to you for, I don't know, whatever the $5 a month at your cable box is,
right,
if your subscription lasts this long. So you'll probably pay less up front because you're only paying a couple, maybe $5-$10 a month on your top of your cable subscription to have your Xbox One functionality. It's basically you're renting it, but over the time it eventually become yours. But same thing with what they have now with the 360, where you get it for 2 years for $200 and have the gold subscription for 2 years at $15 a month. They end up paying more for it if you bought it outright.
True.
Similar to that. I think that would be interesting, but I don't know that it's going to happen that way.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of posturing going on right now, and that's what it really boils down to is what is this next console supposed to do? So for what you're saying, yes, there's a lot of people like you who are into the TV shows, want all this integration.
I'm very interested in the integration and being able to switch from games to movies and stuff. My only problem is that I don't use the Xbox library content distribution system as much as I should, because I use Netflix and Hulu and Vudu and iTunes and stuff like that. That's where there's so many different places to buy things. None of them really kind of work together.
Correct. So if Xbox took this, if Xbox took the position they are now, and they want to be that media outlet, they're going to try to gather all this stuff. And hopefully people like you are going
to
buy it.
See, I think there's a way for them to make money to be this all-in-one box that plays well with everybody else. Now, maybe they don't sell as many Xboxes, but if they still have this Xbox Live, you know, $60 a year.
Which they still will.
Which they still will. Then you still have subscribers. It's not as much, but you're still supplementing your income and stuff like that.
True.
And if you do the cable company thing, then obviously you're going to get a check for that. I think there are other revenue streams that they're not looking at. But obviously, we've kind of seen with Apple, you know, they're a hardware manufacturer as well as a content distributor, but they lose money on hardware if they don't come out with a new version every year. That's why you've got a new iPhone, a new iPad, a new iPod every single year, constantly refreshing the specs, even though that in the past couple of years there hasn't been a huge jump in technology.
So it was only a matter of time before somebody came out and said, we're going to do our best to be the catch-all. Because you don't have any device right now that's interfacing to everything. Sounds like Microsoft wants to go that direction. Sounds like that's what they're...
Which I think is smart, because if you're following, you know, laptop sales are down because everybody's buying a tablet now, iPad, and that's kind of where Windows 8 came in. My brother just... last night we had dinner at my folks' house. My brother bought a new laptop. It's a Lenovo Yoga. It's got 80 gigs of memory on it. Not very big, but it's a Windows 8 machine, and what he's using it as... It's a portable laptop. He's not going to have much on there. He'll still use it to... I think he's mostly using it as a tablet replacement. He still has his old laptop, which still works and has a huge hard drive, 500 gigs, whatever. And he's still going to use that hooked up to his speakers and stuff to play his music in his room rather than... And I asked him, I said, why don't you use Google Music, bud? Upload it to the cloud or something like that. But this would be his kind of stereo catch-all. But he's going to use that one to... write things and post on the internet, and with Google Reader and Google Docs, he doesn't need to buy Word to write a doc file. He just, you know, does it in there and saves as, and it saves it on the cloud.
And see, that's...
So I think that's kind of interesting. So they're losing money on that because not everybody has to buy Office anymore. It comes with its own mail client, so you don't need to buy Outlook. You know, you can download the Gmail app, all these different things. Everything's kind of moving to that web-based platform. So they've lost money in the laptop sales. So I think this, they're kind of, Microsoft maybe is shifting from being that software, hard, you know, no longer a software company because the hardware is not selling, to now becoming more of a hardware company, and, you know, selling the subscriptions thing. So I think that's, it's a smart move for them business-wise, and I think that's kind of why we saw this shift. Not necessarily because they want to alienate gamers, but because they need to have another place for revenue to do that. Sony's always been a hardware hardware company. Mm-hmm. Make televisions, game consoles, Walkman, CD players, all this shit. And then they branched out into computers and partnered with Microsoft, which is weird. You know, they've always been hardware. They've never really been in the business of doing something different. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes sense that they've kind of stayed the same. They've already know where the revenue stream's coming in.
And, the
and
way
then their movie studio now, they own Spider-Man, so they're making money from that.
And the way I look at it is, all that, that everything you just said is really well and good, but I, the origin, the
I know it doesn't make you happy.
It doesn't make me happy because the original idea in the original Xbox was a game console.
It's still a game console.
It's a game console.
They just haven't shown any really cool games.
Which they may. We'll find out Monday. But it's a game console plus all this other stuff that nobody wants. That I don't want. And unfortunately, if I do get an Xbox One, which I'm not, but if I did, I'd have to pay for all that. Because that stuff's not going to be free.
Well, I like the idea of the Xbox One coming with the Kinect rather than having to buy it separately.
And I hate that idea.
If the Kinect is going to be... If Kinect is the thing where the microphone is at and all this other stuff to do all this yelling connectivity stuff, then obviously it makes sense for it to come bundled with it. Now, it's a lot more powerful than the first one that we got, which I'm kind of thinking since that only came out, what, a year and a half ago? I'm kind of thinking they had all these sensors for this Xbox One Kinect.
Right.
And that was a prototype.
I think so.
Hey,
we got this
really cool technology.
Yeah,
let's build something that people can try out for a year and a half before we launch the new thing.
Give us some feedback.
Give us some feedback.
The
see how they like it.
The new camera's going to be 1080p, night vision. It's going to be able to recognize faces. There's some algorithm now.
Recognize
your voice, your heart rate based on your skin tone or dilation in your eyes or something. I'm not really sure, but... To me, all this technology stuff sounds neat, and I remember when I watched the original Xbox reveal when it was on TV, the day my life was shattered with my wife, and we sat there and looked at each other and we're like, okay, this is all cool, but nobody wants it, and the technology is just not there yet. Until all these companies play nice together, which they're not, Microsoft's not going to be able to bridge that gap, in my opinion. I could be wrong. And this is coming from, like, the Xbox fanboy. Like, the guy. Like, I'm the guy at Xbox. That's me. I'm on all the stupid sites. I'm downloading all the games. I'm always on their little forums. I'm, like, pro Xbox guy. So that was such a culture shock for me that Microsoft, which was predominantly, in my opinion, a gaming system, the Xbox was a gaming system, and now they're going to make it into this huge thing that... You know, you can Skype with your friends and talk to your TV.
Well, they've been making that shift when they rehashed the interface last year.
But those are dumb apps that are off on the side that I don't care about. And if I don't want to have to download the iLive radio app or the iHeartRadio app or YouTube app, I don't. And I play my game.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to download them on the Xbox One.
It's the way the interface, to me, appears. And I could be wrong. It seems like games aren't the focus of this machine now. It's like something that can do games. Instead of a console to play games, like a substitute for a computer or, you know, along those lines where like, this is going to be, I want this to play this game. No one goes out and buys an Xbox 360 to watch YouTube.
No.
No one goes out and buys an Xbox 360 to go on Internet Explorer.
No.
Or to download all those dopey apps.
They do it to play Halo and Gears.
I feel as if the messaging that we've gotten up to date for Microsoft is that we're going to be able to, you're going to want to buy this to chat with your friends, see what shows they're watching, watch the Halo channel, all these other goofy things. And oh, by the way, it plays games too. It seems to me that there's a focus in that. And it frustrates me as a gamer because to me, that's not the direction that I want to see them go. Cause I don't want a system that is always on and always connected to other things. I want 100% of the processor going to games. I want it to be the best it can be. They're uploading a lot of data processing to the cloud. I don't think the cloud's there yet. I don't know about you, but my internet connection, I got Roadrunner. It's pretty solid, but it does go out. And yeah. there are times that it slows down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're relying on the cloud so much, I don't think we're there yet. You well, bring fiber in my house, that's a different story.
Amazon, when the first Kindle came out,
yep.
Amazon was doing a lot of the web page loading in the cloud and then sending it back to your Kindle. And it sounded great.
Yeah.
And then the Kindle came out and people started using it, and it wasn't as great as they thought it was. I think since they've either rehashed their servers or rehashed how that works, I'm not 100% on it. But I haven't read anything about the Kindle's web processing in the cloud anymore.
You don't hear about it anymore because the cloud is good if you want to put your Facebook pictures on or Dropbox or whatever.
It is. For uploading and downloading files,
I
think it's great.
I love it. I think it's one of the greatest things ever. But for processing, I'm playing a game and you're going to like offload AI to the cloud or something with the cloud, it's just not there. And until Microsoft can bring me fiber to my house...
Because there's still lag in multiplayer.
Absolutely. And still they can bring me fiber to my house or a super fast internet connection that they manage, so I know it's, you know, so they, it's like Microsoft certified or whatever. They're going to rely on Brighthouse to bring me internet, and sometimes Brighthouse just isn't up to the task.
No, it's not.
And it sucks. So I'm going to suffer as a gamer.
But you know what Brighthouse will say? I say, Jim, you need to upgrade from Roadrunner, which is already a middle tier, to Lightning.
I have Lightning. It's supposed to be up to 60. It's like 28.
Oh.
Sucks. So I guess that's where the big philosophy comes from, and that's where I get butthurt.
So why do you have Lightning? Because of the games? Because you game so much?
It came with a bundle. We got an internet phone, and it came together.
Oh, okay.
I don't notice the difference at all from standard to Lightning at all. I know the number's higher.
Mm-hmm.
My ping's still around 100 just about every game I play. Latency's about 100 milliseconds everywhere I play.
I think that has to do with the majority of the people you're playing with, too.
Probably. And it could be where the servers are at. If I'm playing in Bangladesh, then it's going to be really slow. It doesn't matter if you're on Lightning or on whatever, dial-up.
Oh, very good. Oh, you've killed him.
Very good. So, to me, that's where the biggest frustration comes. And, you know, the message that Microsoft sent when they talk about all these other things before games first,
mm-hmm.
to me that's if you're going to lead with games, it's a gaming console. PlayStation 4 didn't come out and say, hey, we're going to be able to upload apps and this. No, you're going to play games. Here's the games. Done.
All right. Here's kind of where I'm going with this. I agree with you that the presentation wasn't games focused. That's not to say the console won't be. Wait till E3, which I know infuriates you and a lot of hardcore gamers
yes.
to be like, what the fuck? You just announced your new game system, but it didn't show us any games other than Call of Duty.
But we 4. Do know that
Call of Duty Ghosts.
Xbox is going to be the new water cooler, and that the AI is so good the fish swim away from you. Presentation was like something you'd show my dad.
Okay.
Hey, Jimmy, they got this game. When you walk, the guy walks away
okay.
from you.
Remember how we were talking about the last 10 years and how much technology has leaped?
Yes.
So you had, think of the first Xbox.
Yep.
And then you went to the 360.
Yep.
And would you say that there's a large graphical jump between the last Xbox game and the first 360 game?
Oh, yeah.
Call of Duty 2 versus
whatever.
Halo 2?
Whatever, yeah.
Graphical jump. Eye stunning. Right, HD kind of thing. PlayStation 2, God of War, to PlayStation 3 game.
Okay.
Which God of War looked damn good for a PS2 game.
When
it came out. But right after that, we had 360 and we had PS3, and it was nowhere near those games.
Not even close.
So the last couple years, we've been living in this HD era of gaming, and everything's looked great as long as there were well-produced games.
Right.
Looking at the PS4 things and the Xbox 360 games, the sports ones and Ghosts are what we saw, right? There's no graphical leap. There's no leap in technology to showcase that you need to buy this new system because your games are going to look better than ever. It's still HD. We finally get 1080p from 720,
right.
Which we've been hindered with, which was... Does PS3 do 720?
Both of them do
720 maximum.
Both do 1080p. Both of them right now do.
No, the PS3 does 1080. Mm-hmm. This one doesn't do 1080. 360 720.
Is it 720?
It's 720. Okay. You pull out the back of every game, it says 720.
I know PlayStation 3 does 1080p.
Okay. All right. Well, so that's basically it, but on a 42-inch, you can't tell but 720 from 1080.
But I understand your point.
There's nothing for you to look at the games of this generation and the next generation to go,
right.
Oh, wow, that looks fantastic.
Gotta have it.
It's just more textures. It looks, to me, the games that they showcased look more like the cinematics that are attached before games now than they do, you know...
The cinematics look, the pre-rendered CGI looks like the gameplay of the next generation.
Right.
It was the same thing from Final Fantasy VII. The cutscenes looked amazing. That's the gameplay in the PlayStation 2 version. The PlayStation 2 cinematics look like you're right. Yeah. So they are going to get better, but you're right. It's not.
There's no large leap. It's incremental.
Right.
From this generation to next generation. And I think that's kind of where Xbox said, you know what? We want to showcase what's new, mm-hmm. what we're building into this box, mm-hmm. to showcase people what's new and give them more reasons why they would want it.
Right.
Other than, you know, since we don't have a big graphical jump.
Right.
Maybe that's why they went with this first.
That's possible.
Why they didn't showcase more games, I guess, is a fault of scheduling because they scheduled it so close to E3. Because then you could have talked a lot about games then,
right.
And then have E3, and then people would complain, well, Xbox didn't have anything at E3. Well, they just showed you everything 2 weeks before. What do you want? You know? So maybe that's what it is. And I'm actually very proud of this opinion because I haven't seen it anywhere on any video game blogs.
You heard it here first,
or any discussion at all.
You heard it here first.
Nobody has found a way to justify what Xbox has done, which I just did.
And I
they should pay me.
Well,
which won't happen.
I'll just say that as a gamer, in every sense of the word, whatever that means to anyone, the early adopter, the guy who's going to go wait at Walmart the night before at 2 p.m. all day and tag in and out to go get Taco Bell and... You know, who lives this stuff, who's on the sites every day, the guy who's buying State of Decay day one, and 99% of people have no idea what it is.
When you didn't even try it.
When I've been following it for 2 years on the internet, waiting for this game, asking questions with the developers, talking with these guys on Twitter, they're Ask Me Anythings on Reddit. I'm the early adopter. To me, I feel betrayed because I put these guys on the map.
Mm-hmm.
The Xbox was successful because of clowns like me. Who played all their games on Xbox to get the achievements on Xbox.
Jim, you need to touch up the white on your forehead. It's breaking through because you're sweating and grimacing so bad. Go ahead. Clowns like you.
Clowns like... So it's so frustrating to me that's taken away now. And as cute as all these little... To me, tchotchkes and bells and whistles are talking to your TV and watching, you know, stuff through your TV and everything. To me, I don't care about that. And it makes me question why I would want it. So the billions and billions of people and zillions of around the world who have Xboxes, I think it's like 100 million or something. I don't know. It's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Who's ever got one? They bought it to play games.
Correct.
You've just pissed off 90% of those people because they're like, what? And in exchange, we got...
I'm with you. I was more excited about playing games on my 360 when I got it than to doing anything else.
Right. So you really alienated your... To me, Microsoft really alienated their core, their bread and butter. Their bread and butter. Is it on recording?
Yeah, it's recording.
Oh, I thought it was recording.
I'm just checking. Double checking. I don't want to lose this. This is money.
Money. They really alienated their bread and butter. And it's... I looking at it now... Everyone says, oh, E3 needs to really, they need to come out balls to the wall and just wow everyone. I think that ship sailed. Because the second thing I want to talk about, well, many things, but related to this, with the Xbox did their reveal a couple weeks ago. Yesterday, they clarified and they had like, I call it like a re-reveal. So... Their messaging was all over the place. This is just the fault of Microsoft in general. I'm not saying specific to the Xbox. They were very unclear on certain aspects of the game. They had all these executives going out saying different things. And they're all contradicting each other. And it's really hard.
Well, they're executives. They're not engineers. That's, we work in an environment where the guys up top report, rely on us to report to them so they can make a fucking decision.
True.
Even though they don't have all the information that we do. We just gave them bullet points.
True, but if I'm going to have...
It's the same thing here.
But if I'm going to have a press conference and I'm bringing everybody around the world and I'm having Spike TV show it live on TV and I got it on the internet and I'm advertising it for months and I have websites dedicated to countdowns and I built, you know, they built a special tent just to debut this thing out in the middle of some parking lot.
No, it was on their compound.
You know, I mean, they really, this wasn't just like a spur of the moment thing. To me, it's frustrating they didn't have all these things picked out and they didn't have everything ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have all the right answers to the questions. And they know people are going to ask these questions. Now, maybe they didn't understand the backlash there would be from the gaming
community. No, I'm with you that they know what the questions are because the questions were being asked on sites like IGN and Joystick.
Right.
Because they're leading up to this reveal.
And I guarantee
they had hints and there were leaks and discussions of what is this going to be? What is this going to be? What is this going
to
be?
And this conference was for, I thought was supposed to be, it was advertised to gamers. My mom and dad, who don't play games, who would probably find more use out of the Xbox One than I would. Hey, no more remotes, all this kind of stuff. They didn't know about it. This isn't for them. This is for me. This is and it wasn't. And it's their messaging was off. So what they did is they circled the wagons yesterday and said, okay, for real, here's our new final message. And they made it even worse. They made their message even worse for gamers. So the bullet points, you need to know these. If I buy a game, Brent,
okay,
we don't know the price yet. I buy a game. I own it.
Now, do you think those games are going to go up in price?
They better not.
$60 is expensive for me.
Yes.
A game.
Yes. With all the DLC and stuff that they offer now, a season pass, expansions and stuff, you're easily looking at $80 to $85 a game. Easy.
I don't want to pay $80, $85 a game and then buy all that other stuff after that.
I agree.
If they're $80, $85 a game, I won't be buying games until they go on bottom dollar greatest hit sales.
Correct.
Which probably won't be $20 anymore. They'll be $40.
I think they hit their price point really high. I think $60 was silly.
Were they before then?
Well, when I was a kid, Nintendo games used to be $29 and $39. Super Nintendo jumped up to $39, $49. And then...
What was PS2 and Xbox?
50 bucks. That's about fair. And then,
so they jumped up 10.
But then they had budget. You know, they would release games that were budget-type games that were lower. And you knew, like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
So
you think they'll jump up to 80? Or do you think they'll go up to $70?
I think they're going to probably park it at 60. I think you start asking for more than $60 a game, you're making a huge financial investment. Me personally, not that I'm money bags, but I don't care. But I think people are going to look hard and fast if they have really, really hard at this. If they have to buy a game at 70. 70 bucks is a lot of money. 70 just, it's like, that's a big number. So I can't see them going higher.
For one. 10 to 20 hours of entertainment.
Right. So.
On a single player. Okay.
Right. So I can't see that. I can't see them going higher. So what really frustrates me beyond even all this, and if you haven't looked, go check out My Hero, Angry Joe. I know Brent doesn't like him because he's dumb.
I watched that whole thing, actually.
He did two rants. He did another rant yesterday.
I didn't see that one.
And if you're listening, Joe, we love you.
Is he not wearing a shirt in that one, too? Is he like this first one where he's been up for hours and he's just...
But he spit.
It looks like he's drunk and going crazy.
He spits on the camera. He's so mad. There's a piece of spittle on the camera. It's all blurry. He goes back and tries to edit it, but he explains. It's so funny. Okay, so he gets frustrated, but he's right. Okay. Now, okay.
Okay, so you buy a game.
I buy a game.
I cut you off.
I'm sorry. No, it's okay. I buy a game for X amount of dollars.
Halo 5.
Halo 5, I own it. I go home, I play it. My friend Brent is like, hey, I really want to play it. He can only play it if he comes over, which okay.
Which we'll do.
Which probably we'll do.
From time to time.
From time to time, we will get together in person and talk outside of work. he could either come over and play it. If he has an Xbox One, I could go to his house, log into my account, and we can play it.
Okay.
And this ties into the – so when I'm saying all this to you, think of all the social elements, all this social stuff that they're doing. This is all blending in.
So they're getting people to game together again.
That's what they want. I think that's where that's – I think there's a – in the back of the mind.
I'm down with that. I think we've kind of lost some of that because no one – I don't know of any kids that were going over to each other's house to play
right.
each other on Xbox. They would do it separately at their own houses on Live.
But you got to remember, the community you're dealing with is these little punk kids who've been playing this whole way.
Right.
So, okay. So anyway.
But I remember playing, going to my friend's house every weekend and playing SNES and Sega Genesis.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And having a blast.
Those are fun. Yeah. I mean, and, but think about now, you're an adult. You have responsibilities. You have a wife who has her own set of opinions. I have a wife who has my own set of opinions, her own set of opinions, and mine too, because she tells me what to think.
Yes, she does.
But, you have all the... So it's not like we could dedicate a day of like, hey, Saturday's game day, buddy.
No.
Games are pickup. They're on. Let's play for an hour or two. So it's going to be hard to do that now. So they really... So I think you got to take that with a grain of salt. Anyways, I can't borrow you a game anymore. I won't be able to do that. I have to be connected on. Every 24 hours, the system goes online to make sure that I have an internet connection. When I travel to do testing, which I will do because I travel a lot for my job, if I go to Homewood Suites and their internet sucks, and it will, and I can't get a connection, I can't play my games. So it, just in the sense of buying anything and not being able to use it should make everyone livid, period. End of discussion. You have this H2 handy recorder. You bought it. Oh, you have to authenticate it on the third Tuesday. Oh, you didn't authenticate it? Well, you can't use it.
Bricked.
That sucks so much ass. That is so insulting to everybody who's ever bought anything in your life.
Can I just go back to sucks ass? I've never seen anybody actually do that.
Wait till Monday. And
I'm kind of curious how that works. Is it kind of like someone farting in your mouth directly?
I think you're just your blowhole
over their anus.
I think it's just your mouth on the cheek.
And breathe in.
Oh, I never. See, I always thought of butt cheek. You're thinking
mouth on the cheek. That's just kissing ass. That's complimentary.
No, that's like sucking in the blubber. You're thinking
sucking ass. I'm not. Unless you get really, really graphic. I don't know that. Anyway, sorry.
You're right.
You're right. I would be mad if
I'm talking ass. You're talking asshole.
You're going to work, but elsewhere for 2 weeks. There's a lot of downtime at night because you've already eaten and, you know, they don't have all the channels you would like to watch. Whatever. So you want a game. Makes sense. You can blow through a game in a couple days doing that.
Yep.
Agreed. We've done that.
Like Double Dragon.
That's right. So, yeah, and that internet connection did suck. But you know what? I don't think doing that necessarily would be as bad because... It sucked when I was trying to watch Hulu on my Xbox that last trip.
Right.
But I didn't try and play anything online. But what I did do, you know, I was able to bring up the menus and everything.
Right.
And so I think if you get an Xbox One on those shitty hotel connections, I think you will be able to authenticate it, no problem.
But here's my problem. Why do we have to have that other stuff?
Why do we have to authenticate it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I understand it's a DRM and they digital rights management and they want to make sure you're not stealing or whatever, but I don't like people putting limitations on things at work. And I don't like, that point in of itself that there's a chance that if my internet sucks and it goes down for the day or the new game comes out like SimCity, like Diablo 3, like when a StarCraft patch comes out, like when Warcraft comes out, I know a lot of these are Blizzard games, but when any patch comes out or any new game that requires online authentication, you cannot play it the first day. You
mm-hmm.
cannot.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, go read the reviews for Amazon. Go look at those games I just mentioned. Look at launch day games. They fail. SimCity failed so bad that EA gave everyone a free game to make it up. They said, we're so sorry we fucked you. We're going to give you a free game from a list of like 30 games. Please come back. We're sorry. Because it has to be online to play.
Mm-hmm.
We're not at that point yet. Like I said, until Microsoft can provide me that guaranteed, no kidding, this internet's going to work 100% of the time, you're putting a lot of strain on things that don't need to be having a strain on.
I think what their concern is the pirated games. But do you know anybody that does the pirated games a lot?
No.
I don't know of anybody.
I'm sure it happens, but I'm sure, you know.
I'm thinking it's such a minuscule thing that it doesn't need to be that. Here's what I would be okay with. If you pirated a game and put it in your Xbox, maybe not brick the console, but you can never get on Xbox Live.
They do that now.
They do that now.
They do that now, so, especially with mods where people, if they can figure out you have a mod in a game or a modded controller, you will be banned. I've seen it happen. You could go on and buy a new Xbox Live account and start over, but all your friend lists, achievements, everything's gone, and that's fine. Bricking the console is a little extreme, but yeah, absolutely. It's a service, you violated the terms of agreement, you can't play anymore.
So I don't understand that. I guess the reason for this is the used games, you know, we have, there's like 2-3 GameStops within a 5-mile radius of where we are right now, or anybody in a major city, major metropolitan area. There's one here in Waterford, there's one on Colonial, there's one in, there's one in Avalon somewhere.
They're everywhere.
There's a lot of them.
They won't be around for long. Based on this, they won't be around for long. Because if I take my game, going back to this, assuming I actually buy this game. Halo 5. I want to give it to Brent. Brent and I have to be friends online for 30 days.
Already done.
Okay. So why do they put that limit in there? That means I can't just resell it to somebody on Craigslist.
Yes.
Okay. Or on eBay. They just arbitrary number, 30 days. Okay, fine. Got to be friends for 30 days. Then I can give it to Brent. Once Brent has it, I give up my rights to the game. I give them to Brent. Brent is now the sole owner of that game till the end of time. He cannot resell that game. He cannot give it back to me. If he doesn't want to play anymore, he throws it right in the garbage. It's worthless.
So it's got one.
It's got one transaction. One transaction. Period. You can't sell it to GameStop. You can burn it for firewood. That's about it. Which, again, frustrating. Again, is somebody who goes to work every day and works hard to, you know, to get some money and, you know, provide for your family and get a little money on the side. It's your money. When you own something, you should own it.
Well, I did send you this link at work week or two ago. There's a copyright law, which is what GameStop and MovieStop and all these other companies operate under, right. Is that when you buy something under copyright law, after you've bought it legally the first time, you then have the right to resell it and do with it as you will.
So that may play into all this.
I don't know. I'm wondering where there's the guy that's got enough money, pocket change, and that's going to hire the law firm to take Microsoft to task for this.
It may be nobody knows, but even if this all goes away, even if they say, oops,
you're still so hurt by it,
They already
they've killed your interest.
They've already killed my interest to the point that as a Gears head, the guy who is going to get his next tattoo of the Gears Crimson Omen on his shoulder.
Well, don't do it now.
The guy who is going to will not get this next console based solely on the fact that I can't do with my property as I choose. The truth is I don't buy used games. I very rarely...
Yeah, you don't. So I'm worried.
I very rarely...
I don't know where this anger is coming from.
I very rarely borrow games with Brent, and when I do, he tries to pawn them.
That was a joke.
But, no, it's the principle. That's really what it comes down to me, is the principle of the thing. And it infuriates me enough that, I mean, am I the martyr dying on a sword when everyone else is living their life? Probably. But there's enough outlets out there, potentially PlayStation 4, maybe not, I don't know. A lot of people have put PlayStation up on the pedestal. I don't think it deserves to be there yet. They haven't earned my, based on how much they screwed up the PlayStation 3, and a lot of the games that came out weren't that great, Skyrim and a couple other games, frame rates were dropping really bad, and they kind of didn't really embrace them. Their interface sucks. Their market sucks. A lot of the PlayStation needs a kick in the ass, so they're going to get it.
Their interface does suck.
I'm not sure if people elevate them up to the pedestal. I've actually gone back to PC gaming. That's where I'm at now. I'm back in Steam land. I'm back to buying stuff on my computer, buying stuff direct from manufacturers because it's cheaper. And I think that's where I'm going to ultimately end up. I really don't see my. I mean, unless PlayStation 4 like blows me away. I think this will be like a console-less generation for me. Like, I'll just sit this one out.
For 8 years. Or you don't think you'll give in?
There's exclusives on console. I can't say never. You can never say never. But there's just connects on too many things wrong. I don't like the idea of always on. And yes, my phone has a camera on it. And I guess it could be on. And we heard yesterday the government's been monitoring calls from Verizon for the last 5 years or whatever. I'm not saying that Big Brother isn't out there. I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat. But I just don't like the idea that we're giving away our privacy to these big companies for no other reason than doing it. I don't like the idea that a camera's always on in my house. I mean, do I feverishly sit there and just jack off all day in front of my TV? No. So that's not like you're going to catch me doing anything bad. I have a dedicated gaming room upstairs. When I'm not up there, if they logged into my console, they'd see the Justice League fatheads on the wall behind my couch.
Maybe if you're going to jack off in front of your TV all day in front of your Xbox, maybe you could set up some sort of privacy screen.
That's a great... Oh, my God.
So that they don't catch you.
That's a great idea.
It could be, then they could,
like all those,
they could infer that that's what you were doing.
Like all those shitty Nyko attachments, like the fake controllers, you could have like the jack-off screen. Just a little,
you know, yeah, little room partition. It's 3 feet. You can see over it, so your television, but it just covers your hand and your wang and your legs so that it just looks like you're floating behind this screen, but maybe your shoulder's moving.
See, now that's funny.
Hey, maybe that's a product we can invent and sell.
We noticed that you're breathing heavy.
Just in case Xbox is monitoring you, here's a privacy screen.
So, but, you know, I mean, all kidding aside, I mean, the used game thing really hurts me. It bothers me. GameStop's stock is down like 21% over the past like 2 weeks.
Wow.
Again, I don't care. I don't like GameStop. If they go out of business, I'm fine. I think they're a bunch of losers anyway. I don't buy stuff from there. But... you see what kind of impact this... you see people reacting negatively. Go on the internet and read this stuff. It's not me just being whatever. And I'm not just...
I'm with you.
I mean, there is the mob mentality, and there is like, oh, everyone hates it. You know, it's worms. But... and I'm sure it's going to sell well, and they're going to make a ton of money off of it. And there's going to be people waiting day one outside Walmart, but it won't be me. And I guess the realization for me is that it's depressing because as a gamer, I've invested so much of my free time into this console. And I've really seen it mature, and the games have gotten a lot better. A lot of accessibility to the game designers. Reading their initial thoughts on Twitter and on Facebook and stuff, they're not happy about it either. So it's not just me, you know, being, like I said, butthurt all on my own. It's just a change in philosophy. So for the people that, you know, are gonna get it and enjoy the, you know, talking to your TV and the new Halo channel with Steven Spielberg and the new Halo show.
See, that's another point of contention for me. I'm thinking they're going to charge for that.
I'm sure they are.
Which, to me, I'm a fucking Xbox Live subscriber. You should give that to me for free. If you've got enough money that you can go partner with Steven Spielberg and do this as probably a potential, I think really what it's aimed at is Ford Unter Don did well. Right, that
they gave miniseries. They gave it for free on YouTube, and then they pulled it. Now you got to buy it.
Well, actually, it's on Netflix now. I watched it on Netflix. Oh, it is on Netflix. Okay. Which I wasn't that impressed.
Okay, did you notice that the Master Chief's like 3 foot tall in the very end? He's like the last episode. He's like, hey, guys. He's like a little tiny.
I didn't notice
he's
that.
Go back and watch it. He's like 3 foot tall. It's like, it's who's like this guy?
The same. It's the same guy, though. I thought it was the same guy. Anyway, his voice was different, which bugs me.
Exactly.
That
spawned the whole channel.
So where's that going? So I think the success of that led to this, but I think they're still trying to make Halo this huge movie franchise.
Nobody wants
Halo. Instead of a game franchise.
People want Halo. People don't want a movie. People want to play these guys. The way the games are going, some of these great storylines and stuff, people want to experience that through games.
Yeah, it's longer in a game than it is a two-hour movie.
Right. So...
and the budget on some of these games is as large as a two-hour movie, so I don't understand the...
Right. It's bizarre to me. Like I said, it just seems like a lot of bad decisions, and it's easy to hate, and it's easy to go on the internet and hate, and I just encourage who's ever listening, and we'll do another one of these in about 10 years after we've E3 2017. We could talk about it. But I'll tell you that, you know, when Microsoft cancels their post-E3 conference... you know, they usually have a round table at the end for people. They canceled that.
Right.
When they're doing a lot of these behind the veil of the internet releasing stuff, you see everybody on the internet complaining about it. And people complain and complain about everything. People complain about the United States, but it's the greatest country in the world to live in. People complain about certain cars, but they're reliable. It's just, you know, people like, it's just this generation. Everyone loves to hate. But, I mean, all kidding aside, just looking at the facts, me personally, not comfortable with giving my money to somebody who implements these policies, telling me what I can and can't do with things that I own, regardless if I want to do them or not. That shouldn't be put on me. And I know a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, Steam is the same way. And it is. Steam is, if I buy a game on Steam, and Brent's downloading it now, so maybe I'll convert him too. You buy a game on Steam, it's yours. You can't give it to anyone else. You can't, I mean, I guess technically you give me your Steam login and I can log in as you and play it, I guess. But then you couldn't play it, but it's no different than, I guess, giving your console to
somebody. Would you be fine if Xbox did the same thing, just went away with discs?
I think they're going in that direction. And I think, you know, I think they're going in that direction, but, and I don't mind, but I guess the difference between the two, I guess to me, when I see the hatred between Steam and Xbox is, you know, with Xbox, or with Steam, the prices are significantly cheaper. And I don't see Xbox going in that direction. If they're going to offer games to us at a third of the price like Steam does now, I wouldn't be so upset by that. But you go on the Xbox Live store right now, and you can buy Skyrim, which has been out for a year, for $60, the same price it was. It hasn't gone down. It's
probably gone down at Best Buy, though, right?
Probably. So they have access to this. They're obviously upgrading their cloud computing network in preparation for the Xbox One. And they have this technology, you know, but they're still taking as much as they could get. If you buy any game digitally on Xbox, with the exception of the rare summer sales, they're full price. And it's like, well, that doesn't seem right to me. So it just seems like a cash grab. And I know they're in business to make money, of course. I mean, I'm not dumb. I understand Microsoft's going to politely beat you over the head and take every penny you're worth, because that's what they do. They all do that. PlayStation does that. Everybody does that. They want to get as much as they can.
Microsoft does it in a way that they charge you to play online, too.
Well, and that's frustrating in and of itself. But, you know, there's... And I bought into it. I liked Xbox Live. I think it's a good service. The voice works great. Party in, jump in and out of games. Send out beacons to your friends. Just like you were dealing with Steam, downloading drivers, updating patches. None of it. Put the disc in and go. We'll update it for you. Play with your friends. You don't even have to pick a server. We'll just put you in a game. We'll find you somewhere to go. We'll try to balance you the best we can with other players. Maybe we get it right. Maybe we don't. But it's really easy. It's easy to jump in, play a game for 2 minutes, and be done.
So PS3 doesn't do that now.
PlayStation 3 has... PlayStation 3 doesn't like force you to pick servers or anything, but their interface to chat with people is very clunky. It's not as intuitive as pressing the Xbox button on your controller now and navigating through all the... You know, joining a party. It doesn't work like that. It's very, very different. They're probably going to fix that, and based on everything I've seen from the PlayStation 4 press conference back in February, they're going in that direction. So we'll see. So like I said, I think it's good PlayStation got kicked. I think it's good they got kicked in the ass because it's going to make them better. And competition's good. And as much as I want Microsoft to burn, I want them to be around so that the PlayStation 4s and maybe Nintendo Wii eventually of the world and maybe a new console, maybe the Ouya or something else. You know, the competition is healthy and it's important to have that, you know, give and take against each other, but I don't know. It doesn't sit well with me, and I've been playing games since I was 5 years old, and so I've never felt like this in a console.
There was this thing after the thing came out where they said that if you gave a game to me, I would have to buy the digital rights to it. And they were, so basically a used game fee that I would have to pay if you gave me a game, or if I'd have to pay on top of buying a used game at GameStop. Remember that?
Yes.
Did they totally wipe that out and say that's not true?
Again, vague marketing. We're not really sure.
Still vague.
They initially were talking about this system called Argus, which certain retailers, preferably GameStop, could basically trade rights from one game to another.
See, that to me smells funny.
So like I couldn't give a game to you. I'd have
I'm
to sell it.
I'm gonna count on GameStop servers to transfer my digital rights or whatever to somebody else.
Right.
Or when I buy something to say that, you know, I'm gonna count on GameStop to do it correctly the first time.
Right.
That's what if I buy my game and go home and then it hasn't happened yet?
And what if and to take that a step further, it's you have to buy into that system. So Brent's video game, Bomb and Pop Place, which I don't know any of that exists, but
well, the Play and Trade over there's one over here.
and even just
a small shop that's going to go out of business. Selling, I'm surprised it's still in business as long as it's been in business.
And,
but
and selling stuff through Craigslist and eBay, again, I don't do. But again, you're putting more limits on stuff that doesn't need to have limits put on it. And then EA does that fishy crap where they get rid of their online play code, but they're doing it through Xbox anyway.
Right.
So, and of course, EA's got all these exclusive partnerships with Xbox. Call of Duty content comes out first. They have a new sports engine that's coming out. It's going to be some kind of new sports engine mode.
Big deal. I don't play
exclusive
it.
Exclusive to Xbox. So you have a lot of these. It's sad, I guess. And I don't know how to, you know, for somebody who doesn't understand or plays games as much as I do, they go, what's the big deal? It's got all these bells and whistles. Don't use them. But when you start implementing all these other things, it really does start to add up. I can't say there's any one thing, short of me owning something and not being able to play it, that just drives me bananas. But, I mean, there's laundry lists of things that this console just doesn't get right that overshadows the amazing things it will do. And I know that means no Halo 5 or Halo 6 or Gears of War 5 or any of that kind of stuff. But it's like, unfortunately, to me, you got to just say, hey, I'm going to let my wallet speak. I'm one guy in a million. It's like throwing rocks at a tank. It ain't going to make any difference if I buy it or not. But from my perspective, I say go back to console. Maybe PlayStation turns it around. Maybe give the Wii U a chance if they actually make some games. Poor thing.
The hefty controller killed it.
Yeah, it's that controller is not.
I still haven't touched a Wii U, so I can't really speak. But it looks really clumsy. If you're trying to play Batman and beat the crap out of people, instead of having your hands a regular distance apart like you're used to, now moving them 2 feet apart.
It sucks.
It looks like you're like holding a skateboard and trying to press things on there.
It's a clunky design. It's a system that the dual screen thing is a novelty at best. No one's going to be wanting to look from their TV to their lap to see what's on their little screen.
I mean, it works on the DS. It works on the DS, and I was skeptical of the DS.
Well, because, yeah.
My brother had a DS. I didn't get one. I stopped at Game Boy Advance. But he had a DS, and I played some of those things, and it was easy because you're only moving your head maybe, you know, 10 degrees, an inch,
right,
to look from screen to screen, where here you're looking here, and then you're looking to your lap. So that's a full 45 degrees.
Right.
You're no longer looking at the screen on your television. You're looking at the one in your lap. And that's not... Nobody's been able to get that full second screen experience, whether it's been an app on a movie, smart glass. Like, you'll buy a DVD or a Blu-ray now, and they'll say, download the app on your iPad or tablet. And it's supposed to provide all this secondary thing, you know.
AMC does that with Walking Dead, the second screen. No one cares.
No one.
Leave me alone. I'll watch my show.
It's really clumsy. Yeah. It's not intuitive. And if you're watching something for the first time, it stinks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if I'm really into looking at concept art and stuff like that, like Spider-Man, I think, has one, and Dark Knight Rises, I can put the movie on and go through it that way,
right.
But I'm solely exclusively looking at the iPad screen the whole time and just hearing the television.
Right.
So it's really, they haven't figured that out, how to make it go at the same time or not be distracting, that you can enjoy it the first time and still catch everything that's going on in the movie or game and still have the map. Now, if they had done with the smart glass what I would like them to do is put the, like Assassin's Creed 3, that map is so fucking small,
right,
even on a 42-inch television. If they would put that on my iPad, I would be so happy.
Absolutely.
Because I could set up my iPad, and I could set it to timer, you know, always on or whatever like that, so then the screen never turns off on me. I can set it up with my smart cover to stand there right below my television, and then I'm still looking and using it, but, you know... And then I could pull it over and highlight things and select where I want to go, new waypoint, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But I don't think that that's coming even in this next generation, which disappoints me. Because I know it's out there.
Nintendo's strength is in their own homegrown console name, their branding. Mario, Donkey Kong, Samus, Star Fox, Zelda.
But they only have a handful, though.
Kid Icarus. They have enough that I if they could make a good one of every one of those games... I would buy.
Right, but a good one every year or a good one every generation? Because I think it's hard to make a good one every year, much less one every generation.
We haven't had a good Star Fox
and making one every generation, you're still not going to sell enough consoles to justify updating everything.
that's where their strength lies, and they're not even. We'll see what they come up with here in the next couple of days. Nothing's on the radar that I see. So they're floundering bad, and it sucks. I see them going the route of Sega and just subsidizing the Sony or something in 5 years. I really see that happen.
Well, it's surprising how well that DS has sold over the
past
couple of years.
That's what's keeping them afloat. It's like 180 million units sold.
The DS has sold a ton.
Yep.
Not just the 3D DS, but the regular.
Yeah, that's a very popular console right now for young kids. So we'll see what happens with Nintendo. PlayStation, to me, I think they... From a fanboy war, they're on cruise control for cool right now. They just got to go out there. They need to really hammer the point about this used game crap. They need to, you know, they need to distance themselves from Microsoft as much as they can, and they will win the core gamer back. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Because a lot of them, like me, I was always a PlayStation. I didn't even have the original Xbox. I didn't have one. I jumped ship when I saw how cool Xbox Live had become. And how great some of those exclusive titles were. I have both. I have a PlayStation 3. Short of Skyrim, I think I told you, I loaded up Skyrim for the first time like a week and a half ago. The last time I played it was in 2012. April 2012. That was the last time I played anything on my PlayStation. The Skyrim disc was still in there.
Huh.
So it sat there for a year, dead in the water. So there's still hope out there for those guys.
So you never played Uncharted 3, which came out in between then, or anything like that? Just
Uncharted did play. Whenever Uncharted did. I thought Uncharted was...
I don't know how old
I think Uncharted was back... you know what? That's a good point. I think Uncharted was in late 2012, though.
Okay.
And then I went back to Skyrim and I quit. I did beat Uncharted 3, though, in like 8 hours. And I was horrible. I was furious. It didn't help me. I still haven't played the new God of War. Well, because that's what I knew now.
Well... I should borrow your game system, like Xbox wants me to, but borrow your PS3 and play God of War 3 and Uncharted and all these games.
And
you
could do a review on it.
I could.
So, and the last thing I'll say, and then I'm done, is the game that everyone is talking about is Destiny. And I think Destiny is going to be the next.
It's going to be always on, though.
It's going to be the next.
You got to be connected to the world.
Maybe. I'm not opposed to MMOs.
You think that's why...
I'm not opposed to MMOs.
Is it an MMO or is it an action game?
Nobody knows. I'm not opposed to MMOs.
See, all I've seen is this fucking concept art and one trailer which didn't
show anything
but the same concept art. So I don't care about Destiny until they show me what the game looks like.
I think it's going to be a big deal. I think the new Elder Scrolls MMO is going to tank hard. I think we're going to see some new IPs this year that's going to really really maybe stir the waters a little bit. Watch Dogs, we'll probably get a little bit more information on that this year. That looks amazing. Assassin's Creed 4, we already kind of know what that's about. Maybe we'll see some more from
that. But see, Assassin's Creed 4 and a game like Batman Arkham Origins, I'll give Assassin's Creed 4 a shot because I liked the series. I didn't like 3. Which we've talked about here.
Every show. Let's talk about
it
again.
We won't complain about
this
Assassin's Creed 3.
Assassin's Creed 3 sucks.
It's going to be an Assassin's Creed 3 free show. I'm going to check out 4. I don't know if I'm going to buy it day of. It might wait till Christmas time.
Don't pre-order ever again.
But I don't think, I'll play it on my 360 because to me it looks like it's designed for 360. Same with Batman Arkham Origins.
Yes.
They've already announced it. It comes out in October. It's going to probably give me the last game along with Assassin's Creed 4, that's for the 360. I'll play those on there.
Well,
because to me, it looks like they're designed for that system.
Yeah, I believe.
Because
I don't remember.
Batman Arkham Origins is taking the engine, the Unreal 3 engine that Arkham City and Arkham Asylum runs on. They're taking the same assets.
But
they've changed the character models a little bit,
right.
But the same gameplay system and the same assets and the same probably architecture.
It's a different developer, though. It's not Rocksteady.
I know, but Rocksteady gave them all of that stuff to make this new game as quick as they did. A year later? A year and a half later?
Well, Jose Canseco gave me his baseball bat, but I can't
hit
like
that.
He
doesn't mean it's going to be a great game.
You're right.
I hope it is
as great as the last ones. I loved it.
But you're saying... In October, are you going to buy that for 360, or are you going to buy it on PC?
So that makes an interesting, probably for a computer. Maybe for 360, we'll see.
Because sometimes those games come out on consoles, and they'll come out for 360, and they'll come out on PS4, and then you'll wait 6 months before it comes out for PC.
That's true. Yeah, I'm not saying I'm going to go home and throw away my 360. I'm not saying that. I'm still enjoying it. I think both Sony and Xbox have said they're going to support the console through like 2017, 2018. So you're going to see new games for a long time. The transition isn't going to be overnight.
So, but Destiny is not going to be on 360.
It will. Well, we don't know.
I don't think so.
We know it'll be on PlayStation 3. I'm assuming it'll be on 360 as well. It'll be for both. And that, see, then when you get these launch...
What about Call of Duty Ghosts?
Both. And that's
going to be for both?
Yes, and that's where it gets confusing.
See, that to me speaks that... It's not we don't need a new console. Maybe, we got into this argument before that we don't need a new console because if they can make the game and if all it is upgraded texture packs and shit,
so
on the next generation console versus the 360,
you're right.
Then we don't need it.
I'm not sure if Call of Duty is going to be exclusive to the new generation. I know Diablo 3 is going to be both. I know Destiny is going to be both. I know a lot of the Splinter Cell, a lot of these. Assassin's Creed, and it makes you wonder what's the point of getting, you know, it's probably the same thing, maybe a little better. Who knows? I can't see them making two brand new games.
I can't remember if we had, at the launch of 360, if we had games on the PS2 and 3.
I don't think
so. Or
the
Xbox and 360.
I don't think that's ever happened because the graphical, you probably did.
Oh, no, we had King Kong.
You probably didn't. That's not a game. You probably
No. I played it. I played it on PS2 and it was on 360 at the same time.
You probably had it,
but it was just that thing of a little bit graphically, but the gameplay was the same.
I was gonna say you probably had it more of a name only, where they'll make the same game, but it's very different. The different levels, different mission. You're saying it was the same thing.
I didn't play the 360 version.
You liked it so much, you played it twice.
No. I did not. I demoed it on 360.
Oh, okay.
But I ended up buying it and playing it on my PS2.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I bought it used, which I bought a lot. I buy a lot of games used. So maybe I should be the one that's up in arms about the used games things more than you do. Because I am the guy who took a lot. I took Assassin's Creed Revelations, Assassin's Creed 3. What else? Do I still have Gears of War 3? I don't know. Dance Central 1 and 2 I took a bunch of games to GameStop, traded them in, and got enough on the right day, because they were having some upgrade days during this weekend, but on the right day where I got enough that I could pre-order Injustice for free and not have to pay a cent. I'm the guy that did that. So maybe I should be upset.
You should. You should be upset.
I should be upset.
You should be upset at GameStop that they bought your games for like $1 a piece.
No, I got $12. I told you, I called you that day and I said I got $12 for this. What was it? Is Conviction or something like that? $12 or $14. I don't remember.
Well, it's good. But I'm just saying that, you know, maybe GameStop.
So maybe that's why we're doing this DRM stuff, because these publishers realize that, hey, he got a copy of Injustice for free. Now, did GameStop pay for that?
I think right now there was a metric.
Do they pay for the games that they order?
There was a metric about this.
Or is it returnable?
I think it's like 70. I think like the game developer right now, I don't know if this article is even true, but it was like 70% of a game sale goes to the publisher, and then there's a small percentage to the distributor, and then even a smaller percentage to like the store that you buy it from. So GameStop, I thought I'd read somewhere GameStop was only getting like a couple bucks for a new game.
Well, that's why the brand new used games that you get, you see a week later, like Assassin's Creed 3 comes out, and then a week later they get a used version, are still $55. That's 100% profit for them.
Yes, they make all the profit on that. And the game companies, obviously, they want a piece of that, which is bizarre.
Keep the system the same. And then charge me an extra $5.
No other business would you, if you bought a shirt, a polo shirt, and you wore it for a year, and you sold it to me because I really wanted it for $5, you would, and somebody said, oh, wait, you got to.
Polo mails you.
You got
a letter saying, you pay us $5 else, we're going to send it to collections.
Yeah, you gotta send Polo $1 because you sold your shirt for $5. People would be absolutely nuts. Why games are the only medium that does this, no idea. It's really, really bad decision making. You don't sell a car and give money to Honda.
No, you don't.
You don't sell clothes. I don't know if people sell clothes anymore. You don't sell furniture and give them the Lazy Boy or Broyhill or whatever. So why is this any different? I don't know. But when you add in all these other things on top of it, it's just a bad move.
Now, okay, I'm thinking about Blu-rays and movies and stuff because we don't do that with them either. Now, do you think that since Blu-ray players, they want them to be connected to the internet and now they're included with the Xbox One and the PS3 and 4, are Blu-ray movie companies going to get mad at this
and
do the same thing?
They may.
And charge you a fee when you loan a movie to me.
Maybe.
Or I loan one to you. It'd be like renting
it. I don't know how far this is going to go, and I don't know why this is the test bed. I don't understand that. That's a great question. I don't know. Because movies are actually, I mean.
Because that's a lot bigger revenue stream in total, more than just the gaming world.
I think gaming's like $1 billion industry now, or $6 billion industry. I don't know what it is. You're probably right. I don't have the numbers, but.
Well, we can agree that people buy more movies than they do games.
Yeah.
In total. Maybe not of one movie versus one game.
No, because
you don't get the movie sales numbers like you do games.
Right. No, you're right. I think so. So maybe this is the beginning, and maybe the Xbox machine is just like you said, they're onto that umbrella idea, and this is just a natural progression. Soon they're gonna swallow that up too. I don't know. Maybe. I hope not.
But
wait until they start doing that, though, and see how.
I would think that this idea of everybody getting a piece of the pie,
right?
That it should lower prices across the board, not raise them. You know.
Yeah.
If movie companies decide to start charging via the Blu-ray player interface when I loan you a movie,
right?
And you got to pay them $3,
right?
There's no more Blockbuster anymore to collect that.
Mm-hmm.
It's going straight to the movie company.
Right.
Then the new Blu-ray prices should go down from $40, $30 to $10.
Right.
Because now there's more exchange, there's more pricing.
Right.
You know, maybe they charge it on Redbox or something like that. Or maybe Redbox goes away and they're getting movies direct. Everyone's buying them or they're trading them, but they're still getting a fee. Increases, which lowers the prices, which encourages people to buy more movies and share them, and revenue goes up as well.
There's a really good YouTube video you should check out. It's Google Jimquisition. He's sponsored by The Escapist Magazine. I believe The Escapist Magazine. And if not, just look up Jimquisition. He does like a 10-minute little rant on just random topics. And he talks, this last week, he talks about what the big threat of game companies is and how they're generating the revenue. And he's got a lot more numbers than I do. But he talks about how, you know, game companies used to blame Blockbuster, because you mentioned Blockbuster, and rentals is what killed their business. Well, Blockbuster's gone. And now they're blaming piracy and DRM on their you know, the market failing. And it's a lot of finger pointing. No one wants to come out and say some of the quality of these games sucks. No one bought Aliens Colonial Marines was like a $600 million game. I think it made like $60 million back. It sucked. It's a crappy game. Just like this new Will Smith movie. I don't know how much he spent on it, but he lost his shirt. Or whoever funded it did. They lost their shirt.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's a lot of finger pointing.
Blockbuster's gone, but movie tickets are still down.
Right. Exactly. So it's a really eye-opening thing. You really should check it out. But I don't know where this is going, other than, you know, these game companies, it's just a cash grab. Just take what you can get. But and I understand, like I said, it's a business, but it's just bizarre to me that they're willing to go to this length now. This DRM thing and checking in every 20, it sounds like something out of a weird movie. Like, if you sold someone this 10 years ago, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
Okay, I have one final question for you.
Final question.
On Steam, if I disconnect from the internet.
Yes.
And I'm on Steam, can I load a Steam game?
Yes.
I can.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, How long
can I continue to play that Steam game?
Indefinitely.
Indefinitely. Because I bought it. When I bought it through Steam,
they authenticated it, and however the magic of Steam works, they Steamized it so only you can play it.
Okay.
On your computer.
But I don't need to be on the internet.
Nope.
If it's a single player game.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, why Microsoft has taken the other stance, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
So last thing, and then I'm done. Jim's Gems. Remember Jim's Gems?
Jim's Gems.
Do you remember the last Jim's Gem we did?
No.
You hated the... I'll give you... Here's trivia. You hated the game. We played it for 9 seconds. I brought over my console.
Oh, Spelunky.
Spelunky, yes.
I saw it's coming this to week, iOS and HD or some shit.
Oh, it's coming. It's a great game, by the way. Jim's Gems this week is a computer game mod for StarCraft II called the Nexus Wars. And a lot of people play it, but I want to throw it out there. It's a tug-of-war game in which you build barracks and bunkers that produce units. Your units automatically fight, and it's a game of balance and counterbalance. That's all it is. That's all you do. Four-on-four, StarCraft II, Google the Nexus Wars. It's free to play. You don't need Heart of Swarm. Brent doesn't know what I'm talking about. You don't need Heart of Swarm. With the new spawning thing, you don't even need a game. You just need to play with one of your buddies who has it. Did you know that? What do you think about that?
That's interesting.
StarCraft II is now offering spawning. Spawning means if you and I are friends and we've accepted each other's friend requests.
On StarCraft's?
On Blizzard's. They call it Real ID.
BlizzNet.
Battle.net.
Battle.net.
Yes. Uh-huh. I own the full rights to the game. As long as you and I are in a party, you can play for free. If I get the expansion, you and I can play the expansion for free. I bump you up to my highest level.
So I can create an account on what was Battle.net.
It is still
Battle.net. Or I can create an account on Battle.net right now.
Right now. Go download the free trial of StarCraft.
Download the free trial of StarCraft and play. Indefinitely?
If I'm friends with you, you and I can play.
And we're playing together.
It's got to be multiplayer. You can play with me.
That's interesting.
So you see all these benefits that all these companies have, then you see the Xbox stuff.
So it's making me go, oh, this is fun. I like playing with Jim.
I want to buy it.
I want to get this because I want to play the single player. Or, oh, I just saw that review for Heart of Swarm, which came out 2 years after the first game, instead of making a full-blown sequel. Anyway.
Yeah, that's
why I don't get StarCraft 2.
Me either. Great game, though. Nexus Wars.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I don't get it either.
So one day...
And that's where we'll leave it, folks.
That's it. I'm done.
We don't get it.
Oh, and Mitch Dyer goes by Mitchie D now.
Arch nemesis.
What an idiotic name. Double Dragon does not deserve a 4 out of 10. I'm done.
Shameless plug. What's your blog, Jim?
Oh, I'll post it.
With links in the show notes.
Yeah, links in the show notes.
I got a blog
it's
up.
It's on Google.
I got a blog up. It is...
Hold on.
Casinomovies.blogspot.com. I'm doing regular movie reviews, television shows. I have reviews up for Gangster Squad, Silver Linings Playbook, Iron Man 3, Iron Man 2. I linked to the old Comic Timing podcasts. I got... an article about Spartacus, some movie trailers. I'm trying to put something up at least, 5 times a week. So just check it out, favorite it, bookmark it. Hopefully it won't fall by the wayside. Need some page views, folks. Jim, yes. What is your video game blog?
My game blog is my gamer handle, which is Jassafat. Joker, Alpha, Sierra, Echo, Foxtrot, Alpha, Tango, .blogspot.com. Links in the show notes. I migrated over from blog.com. I came over to Google's Blogger. Now I think it's called Blogspot. Definitely check it out. I'm back up to about 1,500 views. You should comment. No one is. That's fine. Brent looks at it, I think.
I did. I didn't read the latest one on Skyrim. Right here.
What does it say? My first second impressions, my return to Skyrim. And I have funny pictures. I have a lot of words, no comments, a lot of views. Check it out. That's it. We'll see you guys in another...
Actually, a couple days.
Maybe
after
next week.
After E3.
Next time Mandy's at work.
E3 impressions.
Next time Mandy's gone.
Coming soon. Adios.
Next time Mandy's gone. Next time Jim skips work.
It's recording. Hooray. Steam is online.
You're the host. Host the show.
Okay. Does it always stay up there?
Oh, you have to exit. Only when you go to the program and hit exit application, it'll turn off.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'll always stay on.
Does it kill your battery?
Yeah. All the way at the bottom. Exit app, and then it's gone.
So if you send me a chat, though, will it pull up? Oh,
that's a great question. Let's find out.
Hold on. This will make for a really exciting back matter.
Back matter. Okay, let me click chat.
Back matter.
Hello. Okay, I sent you a Steam chat. No, I guess not.
Okay.
Nope, so if you logged in, it'll probably be there, though.
All right, cool. All right, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...